Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, the biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. In this episode, we have our sermon from yesterday's Reformation worship service. And in this sermon, I also introduce our November Bible reading challenge during the season of end times, the Gospel of John. Starting yesterday, November 3rd, read one chapter of John a day. And after you read that chapter, whether in your paper Bible or through the YouVersion Bible app, that's one that I use to listen to the Bible. After you read that one chapter, it takes about 5 or 6 minutes, then you just ask the question, who is this Jesus? Or what do we learn about Jesus? How does John present Jesus to us in this chapter? One chapter a day, and then over the course of these next 3 weeks, starting with tomorrow, I'll just take little snippets of each of the chapters that we are looking at. So tomorrow, we'll look at probably John 1 and 2, and then day after that, John 3 and 4, and then we'll be on track for a chapter a day, asking, who is this Jesus? Anyway, here is yesterday's Reformation sermon based on Psalm 46, which is the psalm that inspired Luther to write, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Here goes.
Dear fellow redeemed, we consider briefly our psalm form from today, Psalm 46. And the opening line, likely familiar from earlier in the service, reads like this. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. We don't know the exact name of the person who wrote Psalm 46. The heading there under the numbers in your Bible, say, of the sons of Korah, those were guys who helped with the music in the land of Israel. But we don't know exactly who. It could have been even King David himself. You know, David, famous from David and Goliath, that David. And if you remember that account of young shepherd boy David, who had killed the lion and the bear, who had protected his flock, that young shepherd boy David went on to be a general and a leader in God's army, in the army of the nation of Israel. And over the next, 60, 70 years after David and Goliath, David was the king who drove out the other nations. He was the general who conquered other nations. He was the guy to lead the army to conquer a city and to pacify and bring peace to the land of Israel. And if there's one thing that you need to know about ancient warfare, I think it's rather pertinent today. If there's one thing you need to know about ancient warfare, it's this. That if you want to take a city, the best way to do it is to surround it and make sure they don't get any food or water. And after a few days or a few weeks, they'll give up. Or at the very least, they'll be so weakened that they won't be able to resist when you do want to attack. Now, King David had known that from personal experience. He had known that when he led the army against the city of Jerusalem. He was the one who conquered the city of Jerusalem because it was on these hills, right? It was on these hills, and nobody could get in there. And the people who owned the city said, yeah, na-na-na-boo-boo, you can't get to us, basically. And they said, well, good luck storming the gates. And David found a way to kind of shimmy up this water shaft. It was maybe 4 feet wide at its widest. And they needed water. And so they had this water shaft going down to the spring underneath the land of the city of Jerusalem. And he shimmied up that water shaft and conquered the city. And so David knew that if you want to conquer a city, you need to take away their water. And if you want to keep a city, you need to keep it well watered. And that's the point that God makes when he says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God says, as he speaks to the city of God, that's you and me, as God speaks to his church, he says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. In other words, this river, the word he uses here, is a river that never dries out. He says, the city of God is well watered. And that means that the city of God can stand and will stand no matter what opposes it, no matter who surrounds it. And if you look at God's church across history, you'll see that time and time again. At the time of Martin Luther, you know, about the time he was growing up was when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And at the time of Martin Luther, it looked like God's church was on the verge of collapse. There's this Muslim army pushing in from the east, ISIS of the day. There's this Roman Catholic army down in the south, who's bossed around by both the Pope and the Emperor, kind of. And then Martin Luther is this guy who's been troubled. He's been troubled by this question of uncertainty. How do I know that I've done enough? You might say that he was a little parched. This question, how do I know that I have done enough? And he tried everything. He listened to his dad. He went to university to study, to be a lawyer. He entered the monastery. He became a monk. He became a priest. He went days without food, days without water, all pressing, urged on by that pressing question, how much is enough? How much is enough? And that question, how much is enough to make God happy? How much do I have to do to make sure that I don't end up in purgatory, or at least my time in purgatory is short? How much is enough to confess? He spent 6 hours confessing his sin. He got out, walked not even the width of our sanctuary here, turned around, went back in, because he felt he hadn't done enough. How much is enough? Well, he would beat his body with a whip, and he would lay there on the cold stone, because he had this question: how much is enough? He didn't know how much would be enough, because all he knew growing up was that God was an angry judge and that God would hold him accountable, and he was absolutely dehydrated, right? And so over time, God used his word, and this guy, Martin Luther, you know, his name's on our sign, but only because we follow what he teaches, which is based on the Bible. And there in the Bible, we hear about a God who has given his righteousness to us. It's that part in Romans chapter 4 or Romans chapter 3 that we read earlier today, that God has given his righteousness to us, and that this is yours freely. Not because of things that you've done or left undone, but he's given to you freely for the sake of Jesus through faith. And so it's like Martin Luther is there in that besieged city of God, and people are thirsty. And God didn't give him the little child's shovel for digging sandcastles at the beach. God didn't even get him the, you know, $7.99 special from Ace Hardware or True Value or whatever it is. God sent him in with a backhoe to start digging. To start digging out that river that the people needed. And he started digging and he started looking and he said, well, first of all, this whole idea of purgatory, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. It's a made-up place and it doesn't exist. And their whole worship service, he switched it around and changed it up and kept most of it. Most of what we see in our worship service is an echo of what Luther had kept. But the focus of the worship service of their day was on the man standing right here instead of the man up there. And their focus was on this man being good enough to sacrifice Christ in your place. And on this man being good enough to be the go-between between you and God. And he kept digging, and that went out. And there was one final rock that was just stopping up that entire spring, that entire river. And he was thirsty. And that final rock was, how much do I have to do? How much do I have to do? And looking at Scripture, he saw that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've left undone, no matter who your parents are, Jesus died for you. And that when Jesus did that, he didn't say, oh, by the way, there's a couple of strings attached, but we've got it on clearance this week. If only you, pay some money for this thing that's called an indulgence. Or only if you say a few Hail Marys and Our Fathers, then, if you do that, then God will forgive you. There weren't even any strings attached, and God doesn't put his forgiveness on clearance. He gives it away. Where Jesus died for the sins of all people who have ever and will ever live. And the objective historical fact that he rose from the dead is your guarantee of forgiveness. And he hands it out freely. And Luther's even up to his dying day, 1546, he carried this little scrap of paper in his pocket that they found, when they were cleaning the body at the deathbed. And that scrap of paper said, we are only beggars. Only beggars in God's eyes. And what he meant by that, and what he preached on from that, was the fact that when we come into God's presence, when we stand in God's presence, we don't bring anything in our hands to say, here's what I offer to you, God, I hope you forgive me for this sake, No, we don't bring anything. At the very most, God hands us a bag and says, hold it, I've got blessings to dump into it. Blessings of peace and forgiveness. Blessings of satisfaction and comfort. The blessing of the knowledge that your salvation doesn't rest on any human person or on the faithfulness of your pastor. Your salvation rests on the work of Jesus Christ himself, who was raised from the dead. And that's that final rock that dislodged out of that spring in the city of God, and the water gushed forth. And we might get this idea that, October 31st, 1517 was when he posted those 95 Theses. If anybody knows much about Lutheranism, maybe they hear about that historical fact. And you might get the idea that it was all smooth sailing from there. But it wasn't. It was 13 more years of work before there were even enough other provinces to stand with Luther. Because there's that Muslim army, the ISIS of their day, coming in from the east. There's the Roman Catholic emperor coming up from the south, and he wants nothing more than to squash this little Lutheran rebellion and to get some unity in his kingdom. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, the kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God speaks up. And the nations cower in terror. God speaks up and his people take heart. God uses this guy to unstop that spring, that river of the grace of God found in Jesus Christ alone. And that water started flowing through the city. And across Europe. And it spilled over even here to North America. You can think of it this way. That in King David's day, if you cut a city off from its water supply, that city would collapse. Now I'm sure none of you here have ever experienced this, where maybe you're living in a large metropolitan area and maybe there's like this, like a fantastic lake, we'll just call it a great lake nearby, and this constant source of water. And so there's never a fear that the water would run out. Or that the water would be perhaps unsafe to drink. Well, think back a few years, and apparently that happened. And you know for yourself that living in this area, living here in Toledo, in almost an unprecedented anomaly, this city for a couple of days was without water due to this algae bloom that would be very, very hazardous to your health, and you can't even shower and you can't even drink it, and people are driving all the way to Fort Wayne or Dayton or Columbus or Cincinnati looking for some water. And God says, maybe you remember that day, and maybe you remember how parched you were. But he wants you to know the water that he has for you. The water that he has for you, yes, he provides water through the work of our city. And he provides water in our Great Lakes. And he continues to provide water, and thank the Lord that he has continued to do so and made that water safe for us to drink. But the bigger thing about Reformation Sunday is that Jesus still provides water for his city, because his city, his church, is always under siege. There are those on the outside who would love to see it fall. There are those on the inside who might say, well, you know, what's the point? And even those living in the city of God, living in God's church, might get discouraged. Say, I wish that things were a little different. My guess is that you felt parched like that. That's our handout for today. I encourage you to find this little bookmark looking thing in your service folder. Chances are you've read it already. And if you haven't, it's fairly short. At the very top it says, November of 2019, Gospel of John, and the question, who is this Jesus? Now John writes in relatively short chapters until they get to about John chapter 6. But he writes in relatively short chapters, and what I'm saying is that in less than 5 minutes a day, either reading like a paper Bible like this, or in the YouVersion Bible app, just one chapter a day. Read one chapter and ask this simple question: who is this Jesus? Who does John present Jesus as in this chapter? And you see that reading schedule that takes us all the way out to about 3 weeks from today. And it starts today. And all I'm saying is, dear friends, you know what it's like to be without water. And you know that here at the time of the Reformation, we celebrate God giving water back to his city. And I don't want you to go thirsty. You know, over the course of these next 3 weeks, our podcast is, we're not going to read the entire Gospel of John. I'll just take like a paragraph or maybe two paragraphs out of each chapter, and we'll talk about who is this Jesus. But I want you to cherish the truth of the Reformation by seeing the Jesus that God's Word points you to. And I want you to know for yourself what it means and what it's like to live in this city that cannot be crushed, that cannot be laid siege, and will not fall. Why? Because God is within her. And God speaks. And he comforts his people. And God still provides water that will not dry up. And if you catch anything out of today's sermon, that's it. That God still provides water. Amen.